lineups have been read, the anthem has been sung, the words, "Let's play ball," have been uttered, and so we will. Hollis Fanning, warming up right now, he is the hurler for the Kingsport Axemen. He is a big one, a giant of a man on the mound, 6'8", 225, 21-year-old Hollis Fanning. Fanning with great numbers so far for the Axemen this year. He was born in Lynchburg, Tennessee. Attended school at the University of Tennessee, although he is transferring out, he will transfer to NC State University. Carried a 1.26 ERA for the Volunteers this past season. That was over 15 appearances. So far for Kingsport, he's made two appearances, two games started. He's tossed 11 innings, allowed just four hits and two runs. Neither of those runs were earned. He's hit three, he's walked two, he struck out 15 men. His walks and hits per innings pitched, 0.55. His batting average against, 1.03. And to say the least, Greenville will have their handful in this game as Fanning can throw about 90 pitches and Kingsport is expected to ride him as long as they can in this game. And if Fanning is on, that could mean that he throws five, six. Heck, Fanning could even throw a complete game. So for Greenville, it's going to be important to get the bats going early. They're going to want to work deep counts against Fanning and try to get him out of the game as soon as possible. Fanning is a three-pitch pitcher. He throws a four-seam fastball around 93 to 95. It has good life on it. He has a cutter as well to keep the hitter's barrels away from the baseball, and he has a nice changeup that's deep and that plays well off of his fastball. So Hollis Fanning, under the sun here at Hunter Wright Stadium, just completed his final warm-up toss. It was chucked down by Shea McGahan. Shea McGahan catching in this game. He caught last night's game, and this is the first time that I can recall in the 2023 Appalachian League season in a game involving the Flyboys that any catcher has caught in back-to-back games for the opposing team. So Shea McGahan will do that. Aiden Hill will lead off in this game. Second straight night that Hill is leading off. In fact, 1-5 for Greenville is the exact same lineup. The Flyboys now with much more limited options with Wallace Clark and Ray Ortiz no longer with the team. We are ready to go. Hollis Fanning goes in the windup, 6'8", righty, brings it to Hill, and that catches the outside corner for strike one. First pitch at 5:02 Eastern time, a couple minutes past schedule. Fanning fans a black glove in front of his face, points his feet toward the third base dugout, starts his windup with his left foot, kicks it and brings it. Top of the zone, strike two. So Hill quickly behind, no balls and two strikes, couple of strikeouts, couple of hits in yesterday's game for Hill. Had a two RBI double in the eighth and pokes this one down the third baseline. Sutton charges, tries to barehand it, he cannot. That's going to be an infield hit for Aiden Hill, and a good start for Greenville. Aiden has a ton of speed, most stolen bases on the team with eight of them, and he barely got his bat on that, but the lefty poked it up the third baseline, and Sutton had no chance. Axemen fan out in their home white uniforms, white tops, white pants, orange letters and numerals, block numerals on the back of the jersey, both of those in orange. Tyler Cerny, the batter. And he swings away and sends it out to center field. This will be the first chance for Kyle Booker. And he comes in, his glasses shine, and he makes the catch for the first out of the game. So orange letters, orange block numerals outlined in Mets blue. It is the orange cap with the blue bill and the axe on the front of the cap. The defense for Kingsport to start this game reads like this. Cole Swift, Kyle Booker, Andrew Citron. From left to right in the outfield, Logan Sutton, Danielle Ortiz, Mike Mancini, Corbin Shaw from third to first on the infield, and Shea McGahan, the catcher, for righty Hollis Fanning. One on, one out. The batter is Jack Mosh. Healthy lead for Hill, not going, and the pitch to Mosh is a bit up and away. Jack Mosh with a bit of a rare game last night. He only reached base one time. Surprise, surprise. For Mosh, who had an on-base percentage coming in of .500. Pickoff attempt, Hill is just back in ahead of the tag applied by Shaw. Healthy lead over there for Hill with a right red arm sleeve dangling down. That's his lead arm. Mosh's on-base percentage still healthy. It's at .484, good for second in the league. 1-0 pitch to Mosh. Taken for a called strike. So Hollis Fanning in his last outing. It was on July 3rd in that big July 3rd crowd here in Kingsport, which set an attendance record for Hunter Wright Stadium. His team won 4-11. Another pickoff here and another close play. But Hill back in just ahead of the tag. Fanning picked up the win in the game against Johnson City. In front of the record crowd, he went six innings, allowed two hits, one unearned run, two walks, six strikeouts. Runner goes, pitch is high, thrown down to second base, is on the money, but not in time. So Shea McGahan, his throw is just a little bit late, trying to get Hill. Give Aiden his ninth swipe of the season. He's now 9-for-12. The pitch was close. Mosh checked his swing. Fanning asked home plate umpire Courtney Clements if it was high. She said yes. So it's 2-1 on Mosh. Clements, the home plate umpire. Mark D'Amelio, the field umpire. 2-1 pitch from Fanning. This one is grounded right side. It's going to be a chance for Mike Mancini. Second baseman has it and flips to first to nab Jack Mosh. Aiden Hill goes second to third on that ground ball. And he stands over there in the top of the first with two men out. Joel Dragoo, he was the man of the day yesterday. Dragoo with a 21-game on-base streak. That's good for tied for the league lead with Jordan Taylor. He reached in his first plate appearance yesterday, but had the biggest hit of the game as well. First pitch to Dragoo. That one's a called strike one. Dragoo had a two-run homer with two outs in the seventh that put Greenville ahead 3-2. They went on to win the game. 0-1 to Dragoo. Right down the middle, strike two. Flyboys were held hitless in yesterday's game until the sixth inning when they picked up a one-out single courtesy of Nick Barone. They trailed 2-0, scored the game's last five runs. 0-2 pitch to Dragoo. Strike three called, outside corner. Clements rings up Dragoo, and that will end the top of the first inning. Greenville picks up a leadoff infield hit, but Aiden Hill is stranded over at third base. We're off and running on 7-inning Sunday as you listen to Greenville Flyboys Baseball on MinorLeagueBaseball.com.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for greatest of all time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Fans, when you come out to the ballpark, make sure to stop by our concession stands to get yourself a nice Juice Elm Hill hot dog. Elm Hill, the official hot dog of the Greenville Flyboys.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Bottom of the first inning. Flyboys get a first inning base runner. It doesn't take them nearly as long to get their first hit in game two of this series against the Axemen, but Aiden Hill is stranded over at third base, so a scoreless game. As we go to the bottom of the first, Howie Boxley here with you. Roan Tarbert, the starter in this game for Greenville. He toes the third base side of the rubber, goes into his windup, and brings the first pitch to Andrew Citrin. That's a fastball that stays high. Roan Tarbert, 6'2", 215, 20-year-old. 1-1 record this summer. 1-0 pitch to Citrin. One miss is just a little bit low, 2-0. Roan Tarbert making his fifth straight start on Sunday for Greenville. He's been the Sunday go-to. 2-0. One's way high as Tarbert is a little bit amped up early on. He's quickly behind Andrew Citrin, three balls and no strikes. Tarbert throws a fastball, a changeup, a cutter, and a slider. Brings a 3-0. That one catches the bottom of the zone. Andrew Citrin tossed his lumber over toward the third base dugout. He turned around and quickly apologized to Courtney Clements. His teammate Mike Mancini handed him his bat back, and now he's climbed back into the right-handed batter's box. And we'll await a 3-1. That one is well high, so it's a 5-pitch walk issued by Roan Tarbert to start his outing. Roan Tarbert, a 5.06 ERA coming in. Those four games started all on Sunday.
Number 2,
16 innings pitched for Tarbert, 11 hits, 13 runs, 9 of them earned, 11 walks, 13 strikeouts, a batting average against a 177, and a whip of 138. So that, and those are good numbers for Tarbert. Bases Mike Mancini now and delivers just a little bit high. Mike Mancini batting second, playing second again. He was 0 for 4 in last night's game with a run scored. Citrin's over at first, held on by Barone. No swipes so far for Andrew this summer. Not going, and the pitch to Mancini is fouled away off of Mike in the left-handed batter's box. Flyboys in the same uniforms that they were wearing last night. It's the navy blue tops and the gray pants. Red lettering and numerals outlined in white. Greenville diagonally across the chest. Red caps with the red bills and the three-star logo on the front. Saborn Campbell, Aiden Hill, Joel Dragu fan out in those uniforms from left to right in the outfield. Johnny Pilla, Tyler Cerny, Jack Mosh, Nick Barone from third to first. Avery Collins does the catching in this game, and now Roan Tarbert picks off at Andrew Citrin, who's back in with the dive, and his jersey is now dirty. Another pickoff, and again, Citrin back in with a head-first dive. Mike Mancini so far this season, batting 290 with 23 runs and 13 men driven in. 1-1 pitch to him. Misses a bit up and away, 2 balls and a strike as Tarbert is having trouble locating early. No score, bottom of the first, Flyboys and Axemen on 7-inning Sunday. Runner on first base, nobody out. 2-1 pitch to Mancini. This one is sent down the left field line. That one will scatter the umbrellas down there and bounce in and out of the Kingsport Axemen bullpen, which is down the left field line. 330 down both lines here at Hunter Wright Stadium, a symmetrical ballpark, 410 to straightaway center. You have to crunch a ball to get it out over there. Batter's eyes in blue. 2-2 to Mancini, swing and a miss. Strikeout for Roan Tarbert. That is his 14th strikeout of the season. And that's out number one here in the bottom of the first.
Number 27, Danielle Ortiz.
The fence generally runs around at about 10 feet high here at Hunter Wright Stadium until you get to the batter's eye, and then it doubles in height so that the hitters can see, so about 20 feet high in center field. Batter now is Danielle Ortiz. And Ortiz takes just off the plate. Ortiz hit his 7th home run in last night's game. That, at the time, gave the Axemen a 2-0 lead. Ortiz now tied for Colby Backus for first in the league in home runs. Another pickoff here, and Citrin again back in with a dive. Ortiz batting 341, 31 for 91. 24 runs, that leads the team. 23 RBIs, that leads the team. Runner goes this time, and the pitch is poked into the vacant hole on the right side. Andrew Citrin's going to go first to third on a perfectly executed hit and run. Jack Mosh vacated his position, and Ortiz filled the hole. And Kingsport has something going here in the first. These two teams have played 5 times coming into this Sunday evening game. The Flyboys are 3-2 in those games. Kingsport has scored in all 5 games. First in all 5 games, including last night when they scored their first run in the 4th inning. In fact, Kingsport has scored first in 4 of the 5 in 1 of the first 2 innings. Logan Sutton, the batter now, and he takes up and away. So Kingsport, no stranger to scoring early and first in this series, season series against the Flyboys, but hasn't turned into that much success. Just 2-3 is Kingsport. 1-0 pitch to Logan Sutton, and he chases one up and out of the zone. Kind of a half-hearted swing there for Sutton, who didn't bring his bat all the way around, but he brought it clearly through the zone and a little bit of the way behind his back, but he knew he was fooled. Sutton, getting his first start in the series, leads the team in average at 349, 15 for 43. 1-1. Big swing and a miss again. Nice stop that time by Collins. Now it's a ball and two strikes. Logan Sutton, 11 RBIs, two doubles, and a homer. 1-2 pitch from Tarbert. That one stays high. Avery had to jump out of his crouch to catch that one. That was well above the zone. In fact, that was probably over Logan Sutton's head. Game time temperature right around 80 degrees. Mostly cloudy skies. The sun will peek out at times. 2-2 pitch to Sutton. Runner goes from first, and the pitch is swung on and hit high in the air down the left field line. Foul territory, third baseman Pilla, shortstop Cerny. And both were over, but that one was just short of the Axman bullpen around that umbrella area that added $120,000 in value to the ballpark. And so it's out of play. Left fielder Saborn Campbell is also over to give that one a look. Runners on first and third, bottom of the first, no score. Flyboys and Axman. Tarbert looking for a big strikeout. Could be out number two here in the first inning. 2-2. This one is grounded softly foul to the left of the third base bag. Chance of rain is moderate for this game, about 30 to 50%. The winds are a factor in this game. They're blowing out of the northwest at about 10 miles an hour, which is generally in from right to left. The flag isn't moving much out in right center, but you can feel the wind coming through the open window here, and you can feel it when you're down around the field. 2-2 pitch, runner goes from first, pitch is swung on and missed. Now Ortiz is in a rundown, and now Mosh is going to look Ortiz back to first. He's caught in a rundown. The runner from third is going to try to score, and now Cerny can't apply the tag, and the runner from third, Citron, will score. That was a really unfortunate set of events for Greenville. Logan Sutton was struck out swinging. And then Avery Collins threw it down to second base. Ortiz stopped and intentionally got into a rundown. Mosh did the smart thing and looked Citron back to third base, but not long enough. And then when he turned back toward Ortiz and began the rundown process, Citron stole a run. So runner on second, two out, Shea McGahan the batter, and McGahan almost gets hit. Man, so Cerny had the ball. It seemed like he had a chance to tag out the runner. As this one misses just a little bit, 2-0. It seemed like Cerny had a chance to tag out Ortiz going towards second base, but then Cerny had indecision. He thought about throwing home, but really he just needed to tag Ortiz before Citron scored. 2-0 to McGahan. Called strike over the outside corner, 2-1. That one stays high to McGahan. Three balls and a strike. Three-one pitch on the way to McGahan. Inside, ball four. Third base runner to reach here in the first inning. That rundown situation has now happened twice in a Flyboys game, where a runner gets caught in a rundown between first and second with another runner on third, and the runner on third scores resultingly. Batter now is Corbin Shaw. First pitch from Tarbert. Big swing and a miss by Shaw. Corbin Shaw batting 280. 12 runs, 16 knocked in. Six doubles, that leads the team. Shaw last night was 1-for-4 with a double, and now both runners take off. Tarbert steps off the mound and tries to throw, but not in time. So this time it's Ortiz and McGahan that catch Roan Tarbert napping. He wasn't paying attention to him. They both took off, and by the time he stepped off the rubber and threw to third, Ortiz was in there. So runners on second and third now. 0-1 pitch to Shaw. Check swing. And he did go around, says Mark D'Amelio. Took a while for the appeal process to happen there. But once Mark finally was given the signal from Courtney Clements, he raised up his right fist. So 0-2 now on Shaw. Runners on second and third. Pitch. One darts just a little bit down and in. One-two pitch to Shaw. This one is grounded foul over on along the third base side. So it's 4-10 to straightaway center. There's a dog park out there in left center. There is woods around most of the ballpark from right field to about center field behind the batter's eye. Then you have the dog park, the parking lot. 1-2 pitch to Shaw. This one is grounded up the middle. That'll be fielded by shortstop Cerny. His throw to first is in time. And the Axemen will strand a couple runners here in the first inning. But a nifty rundown caused by Danielle Ortiz causes the game's first run to score. It's 1-0. Axemen through one as you listen to Greenville Flyboys Baseball on minorleaguebaseball.com.
Hey, hon. What you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No. I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hit a grand slam when you choose to make East Tennessee State University your home away from home. You'll find a vibrant and welcoming community, resources to support academic and personal success, and a full calendar of student activities available throughout the semester. Join us at etsu.edu/admissions to be at the center of the Buccaneer experience. Top of the second, the Kingsport Axemen are able to manufacture a run on a rundown. Danielle Ortiz gets caught in between first and second. Andrew Citrin scores from third. And the Flyboys trail by one heading into the second inning. And Hollis Fanning has a run to work with. Fanning hasn't gotten much run support so far, but he hasn't allowed very many runs either. Just two runs allowed by Fanning over his first 12 innings pitched. Neither one of those runs were earned. He will tangle with Nick Barone to start the top of the second. Pitch to Barone. Big swing and a foul ball off the mitt of Shea McGahan, and it's 0-1. Still have the text line available at 828-592-4436. 0-1 pitch to Barone. This is a check swing roller out to third. That'll be fielded by Sutton, and he will throw out Barone for out number one. So 828-592-4436. That's a way that you can text and interact with the broadcast on this seven-inning Sunday. Bring up Gavin Boyle. Boyle getting his first start in the series. Again, the Flyboys bench is down to three players.
as Ray Ortiz and Wallace Clark are no longer with the team as of this series. Fanning brings it to the lefty Boyle, and that one catches the inside corner for strike one. Good fastball moving into the bat of the lefty Boyle. Boyle batting 245 with two doubles, two triples, and two home runs. A one pitch. Top of the zone, strike two. So Flyboys just with a three-man bench. Tristan Ellis is still dealing with the lingering effects of being tagged hard on the head. That was on Thursday. 0-2 to Boyle. Big swing and a miss. Fanning strikes out Boyle on three pitches, and now it'll be Johnny Pilla. The other thing that has happened today is this man, Johnny Pilla, is a little bit under the weather. Obviously, he's not doing too bad since he's playing in this game, but I saw him before the game in the batting cages back at home, and he doesn't look great. He is definitely a little bit sick. First pitch to Pilla. One misses downstairs, 1-0. So with Ellis still with a lingering injury, Ortiz and Clark gone, and now Pilla getting sick, you start to run really limited. 1-0 pitch to Johnny. This one is roped to first, and that's past Corbin Shaw. He tried to glove that. It caught a lot of leather and went into right field, so we'll see how that one is scored. Could certainly be an E3.
The left fielder, and 29.
So while we await the scoring on that. So anyway, so Pilla was unable to play in this game, and Ellis was also unavailable. Greenville would be out of infielders. So that would mean that Bodie or maybe Munson would have to play the infield for Greenville. So again, you start to have a limited bench. That's tough. It's now Campbell, Seaborn Campbell, the batter, and he sprays one off to his right. Right on right here, Fanning and Campbell, two Power 5 guys. That is ruled an error on Corbin Shaw. So first error of the game on either side. Pilla a threat to steal over at first, held on by Shaw. A one pitch to Campbell. One's down and away, and McGahan fakes a back pick at Pilla, but doesn't make it. Johnny back in, standing up at first. Fanning nods yes, big 6'8 righty, sets at the belt. Big left leg kick in the 1-1. Called strike over the outside corner to the righty Campbell. One, two to Campbell. Swing and a miss. Hollis Fanning picks up his third strikeout of the game. That's out number three here in the top of the second. To the bottom of the second we go. Axemen 1, Flyboys none, as you listen to Greenville Flyboys Baseball on minorleaguebaseball.com.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Schwartz Construction Solutions is your local trusted exterior remodeling company, specializing in building decks, porches, garages, and room additions. They have served the Tri-Cities for over a decade, have a high customer return rate, and are BBB accredited. Give Schwartz Construction Solutions a call to discuss your next project. Flyboys 1-0 on 7-8 Sunday. Howie Boxley here with you, calling Greenville Flyboys Baseball's Ron Tarver. will be back out on the mound. Tarbert allowed that first inning run. He allowed one hit and a couple of walks, a couple of strikeouts for Roan as well. And he will tangle with Kyle Booker, the 7-0 hitter, to start the bottom of the seventh. Kyle Booker getting his first start of the year for Kingsport. He steps up there with a turquoise bat. So that's unique. Booker, University of Tennessee. Second season in the league playing for Kingsport, and Booker takes a called strike one. Last season, he batted .310 for Kingsport, had a homer and 24 runs batted in. And Booker takes a called strike two. O-2 pitch to Kyle Booker. One skips up there. Of course, the MLB draft is starting tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Kyle Booker's dad, Kevin Booker, was drafted in the 11th round of the 1992 draft by the Chicago Cubs. 1-2 pitch to Kyle, and he swings and misses. Strikeout number 3 for Roan Tarbert, and out number 1 here in the bottom of the second.
The designated hitter, number 29.
So it'll be a lot of fun to watch draft over the next few days. Of course, we will keep you updated on any Appalachian League players that are taken, any Greenville Flyboys players that are taken. Most likely former, as Casey Allen takes high, ball one. Draft, though, always one of the funnest times of the year. 1-0 pitch. This one is grounded softly up to third. That is just foul past third. Johnny Pillow was over, ready to make a play on it. Of course, the draft down from 40 to 20 rounds, but still as electric as always as players get to have their dreams come true. Called strike here to Casey Allen. Expecting three SEC guys to go at the top this year. One Gator and two Tigers. 1-2 pitch to Casey Allen. Big swing and a miss. Couple of strikeouts for Tarbert. Four in the game. And now two down here in the second inning.
Left fielder, number one, Cole Swift.
Bring up 9-0 hitter Cole Swift. Cole Swift batting .246 with 15 runs and 8 men driven in. Swift came on as a pinch runner last night and had one plate appearance. That was in the eighth when he struck out against Cameron O'Bannon. He pops up the first pitch. First baseman Nick Barone is over and under, and there is an easy 1-2-3 inning for Roan Tarbert. We're on to the third, 1-0 Axemen.
Imagine a lady who wouldn't give up her seat on the bus, a TV host who wanted to be your neighbor, or an inventor whose 10,000 failures didn't stop him. These vivid images all share the same caption. Inspiration. These people just did their best, and they inspire us. Now, what will you do to inspire others? Inspiration is in you. Pass it on. From PassItOn.com.
Brumley's Restaurant, located in the historic General Morgan Inn in downtown Greenville, always hits a home run when it comes to providing delicious cuisine served with Southern hospitality. Join them for dinner for the region's best steaks, seafood, burgers, and more. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m. Reservations recommended. Call 423-787-7500. Third inning from Kingsport, Tennessee. Flyboys trailing the Axemen 1-0 on 7 inning Sunday. Howie Boxley here with you. Hollis Spanik back here on the mound as he gets set to tangle with 9-1-2 for Greenville. Avery Collins, Hayden Hill, and Tyler Cerny.
The
skies are still mostly cloudy. The radar looks pretty good for now. We're expecting rain to move through at some point, but hopefully that will be after the game. You can hear the wind pick up at times. Notably, it picked up right as the second inning ended. And it is blowing in, so if you get a ball out in this win, you've hit it. Avery Collins, the batter. Switch hitter bats left against the righty, and Fanning delivers. Collins takes a called strike one. Avery Collins, and having a rough go of it at the plate, looking for his first hit since June 16th. A one pitch to Collins. This one has popped up, and that one will reach the seats. Not nearly as good of a crowd here on this Sunday evening as there was last night on Saturday when it was healthy. O-2 pitch to Collins. One's fouled straight back, and that one comes straight up the netting and slams into the press box, right in between me and Clay up here. That one ramped right up the net about 20 feet to my right. 0-2 pitch to Collins. Big swing and a miss. Second strikeout in a row for Hollis Fanning, number four on the game, and one man out. I will say one thing about Avery Collins. You cannot fault the man for his character and his attitude. Every day Collins comes in, he works hard. Every day he has a smile on his face, always gives me a big fist bump. So I can't say enough about Avery Collins and the attitude that he has had throughout this slump. He's going to break out of it at some point. And when he does, I'm going to be happiest man on the planet for him. Aiden Hill, batter now. He has the only hit in this game for Greenville and grounds the first pitch to second. Mancini on a backhand. Hill was running the whole way, but he's out by half a step. So Aiden Hill tried to turn a routine ground ball to second into an infield hit. But Mancini nabs him by a half step, and now two up, two down. Three men in a row retired by Fanning. And he's already ready to go against Tyler Cerny. Stands on the hill with his gray and orange shoes. Goes into his windup with his left leg and kicks it, brings it right down the middle, strike one. Hollis Fanning as good as advertised so far. ERA of 0.01. This one is roped into center field. Tyler Cerny with a good piece of hitting. Man, he can hit. 17th hit for Tyler Cerny, whose average is up over 320. And he's a two-out base runner here in the third inning. I tell you, Cerny can hit pitching. Doesn't matter how good it is. That time it was a fastball up in the zone, and Cerny just flipped his hands at it, got the barrel to it, and shot it out to center. Jack Mosh, the batter now, still looking for his first hit in the series as he is 0 for 5. He's only reached base one time. Somebody who came in with an on-base percentage of 500, and Mosh grounds this one foul over toward the Flyboys dugout on the first base side. Mosh, a left-handed hitter, 13 runs, 13 RBIs. He's hit three doubles, two triples, and an inside-the-park home run. Fanning checks on Cerny, held on by Shaw. Sets at the belt. Brings it to Jack. Popped up. Out of play. Off to the left. And now Mosh quickly down to his final strike. Axeman will send up the top of their order when we get to the bottom of the third. 1-0 Axeman. And an 0-2 pitch to Mosh. Outside corner, just missed it. I thought Courtney Clements was going to ring up Mosh for sure. But she didn't flinch, so Mosh is still in there. Pick off, and Cerny with a slide step. He's back over standing up. Kind of looked like the electric slide over there for Tyler. Showing off his flexibility. He's got a pretty big lead over there. Leaning toward first, not going, and the pitch to Mosh missed outside again. 2-2. No dogs in the dog park at the moment in left center field. Two-two to Mosh. It's grounded off of Jack inside the batter's box. So that's a foul ball. Jack Mosh, OPS at 952. Average at 338. Missouri Tiger, Jack Mosh. having an excellent summer, and we'll try to carry that momentum into the fall and spring with Missouri, where everyone suspects he'll get some more playing time this year. 2-2 pitch to Jack. Runner goes. Pitch is fouled away. Jack kind of reached up and poked that one. It was a little bit up and out of the zone, but Jack, of course, had to protect with a 2-2 count, so Cerny will have to go back to first base. Mosh taps on the plate a couple times. Holds his bat out in front of him, now wields it over his left shoulder. And awaits a 2-2 pitch. Swing and a little flare out to right field. That's going to be caught by Andrew Citrin, who moved to his left. So Greenville picks up its second hit of the game, but nothing else. Hollis Fanning, three scoreless innings here. To the bottom of the third, 1-0 Kingsport, as you listen to Greenville Flyboys Baseball on MinorLeagueBaseball.com.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
East Tennessee State University provides innovative, unique, and engaging hands-on learning opportunities. When you live on campus, these opportunities are just outside your door. You'll also be steps away from classes, on-campus events, dining, and entertainment. You'll never strike out because there's always something to do and new friends to meet at ETSU. Join us at etsu.edu/admissions.
Bottom of the third, 1-0 accident. Howie Boxley here with you calling Greenville Flyboys Baseball. Top of the order for Kingsport, starting with Andrew Citrin, who led off the game for the Axemen with a walk. He eventually scored on a rundown started by Danielle Ortiz, and he takes high for ball one. Tarbert walked him on five pitches. Roan works very quickly and brings the 1-0. This one is sent in the air out to right field. Chance for Joel Dragoo. He drifts back and then in and catches it for out number one. So MLB All-Star Game coming right up, right around the corner. The Appalachian League also has an All-Star Game. That'll be a couple weeks from Tuesday, and that will emanate from right here in Kingsport as the defending champion Axemen get the honors of hosting the 2023 Appalachian League All-Star Game. That will be broadcast on MLB Network. Mike Mancini takes a called strike. We'll also have a home run derby, a skills competition on Monday. 0-1 pitch to Mancini. And this one is poked down the left field line. That's going to drop down for a hit. Mancini is going to cut first and head for second. Campbell chucks that baseball back into the infield, and it's a one-out double for Mike Mancini. So that'll be a ton of fun. We'll have more details on the rosters for the East and the West. Of course, when we get them, the coaches will vote on the All-Stars. Hollis Fanning, certainly a candidate. Tyler Cerny, Jack Mosh, Joel Dragoo. This man right here, Danielle Ortiz, tied for the league lead in home runs. He could certainly find himself playing in the All-Star game in Kingsport 2 weeks from Tuesday. So that's going to be a ton of fun. So stay tuned for more details on that. A couple of weeks from tomorrow and Tuesday as Ortiz fouls the first pitch off his foot, nothing in one. Glad that the Appalachian League has an actual game. A lot of these summer leagues have all-star balloting but don't actually play a game. So it's cool that the league does that and that MLB Network is kind enough to participate. 0-1 pitch to Ortiz. Up and in. Ortiz had a single his first time up and might as well give him a pseudo RBI for starting that rundown that Andrew Citrin eventually scored from third on. Smart play by Kingsport. They've done that a few times this season. Tarbert sets. He stares right at Mancini on second and brings it to Ortiz. That one gets over the head of Ortiz, over Collins' glove, and Mancini will reach third on that very wild pitch. So RBI chance here for Danielle Ortiz, and the Flyboys infield is going to come in. They don't want Hollis Fanning to get a second insurance run. 2-1 to Ortiz. That one's high. That one's off the mitt of Collins. Here comes Mancini. Collins' throw to the plate is going to be dropped by Roan Tarbert. And a couple of wild pitches score the game's second run for Kingsport. It's 2-0 here in the third. That one again was well high. It popped off the mitt of Avery Collins, and that allowed Mike Mancini to score. So now, of course, Greenville's defense will back up with nobody on and one out. 2-0, Axman. It's a 3-1 count on Danielle Ortiz. The pitch. Top of the zone and a called strike. Three-two. That one bounces up there and away. And Ortiz is going to reach first base via walk. Third walk issued by Roan Tarbert. And Ortiz is down at first base with one man out for Logan Sutton. Let's take our first look at scores around the league. Princeton playing in Danville. Otterbots looking for a sweep. That game is scoreless in the bottom of the third. Burlington and Elizabethton, they are tied at two as the River Riders try to split the series with the Sock Puppets. That game is in the second inning. First pitch to Logan Sutton. That one's tipped into the mid of Collins. Nothing in one. The Doughboys and the State Liners are set to get started at 6 o'clock, and Pulaski and Bluefield, they have been affected by the weather in the region. They are in a rain delay. Ortiz leads off first. 0-1. This one is cranked out to deep left field. This baseball is not coming back. Two-run home run, Logan Sutton. 4-0 Kingsport. That was a towering drive out to left field. The only good news is if you're Greenville, Logan Sutton didn't hit that home run yesterday. If he hits that home run yesterday, our bus has a window shattered. This time our bus is parked further back up against the tree line. Yesterday it was parked right up against the fence, and that ball would have slammed into it. So two-run home run for Logan Sutton, and now Shea McGahan takes way high, 1-0. Fly out started the third inning. Double by Mancini. He scored on a couple of wild pitches. Walk to Ortiz, two-run home run Sutton. And now pitch over the outside corner to McGahan, 1-1. Home run number two for Logan Sutton. RBIs 12 and 13. McGahan takes inside. It's now 2-2. Danielle Ortiz scores for a team-leading 25th time, and Sutton scores for the 8th time. 2-1 to McGahan. Change up inside, 3-3. 3-1 to McGahan. High ball 4. Or maybe not. I guess the first pitch of the sequence was one that didn't count. 3-1 pitch to McGahan, and now it's 4. So, still a walk either way to Shea McGahan. I think what happened there was McGahan may have called time right before Tarbert threw the first pitch high. And so that one didn't count, but it was a little bit unclear. Fourth walk issued by Tarbert. He's now allowed 4 straight men to reach. 3 of them have scored. Barone will hold on McGahan at first, and Corbin Shaw will stand in. He grounded out to short his first time up. Runner goes on first move, and Shaw sprays it out to right field. Dragoo will drift to his left. He's going to catch it. There's going to be a return throw to first base, and that's going to be in time. So a 9-3 double play as McGahan couldn't get back to the first base bag as he was stealing on the play. So Greenville will take that to end the inning. But the Axemen score three runs, most notably a two-run homer by Logan Sutton. We're on to the fourth, 4-0 Kingsport.
Pass it on.
Here's a short quiz. Who won Best Actress last year? Who won the World Series 2 years ago? And finally, name your favorite teacher. Pass it on. Now, I'm guessing that the last question was the easiest. Why is that? Because that person made a difference in your life. So, go ahead and make a difference. Because making a difference is in you. Pass it on. From PassItOn.com.
Hey fans, Wicked Weed is the official craft beer of the Greenville Flyboys. Since 2012, Wicked Weed has been pushing the envelope, crafting unique beers with bold flavors for the forward drinker. Find your new favorite on draft at Pioneer Park or at a local retailer. Top of the fourth inning, Kingsport Axemen leading the Greenville Flyboys 4-0. Two-run home run by Logan Sutton in the third inning there. And the Flyboys have their work cut out for them as they trail 4-0. But looks like we are going to get a pitching change. So that is surprising. That is not the script that we were given for this game, as Maddox Burkett is going to take over for Hollis Fanning here in the fourth inning. So that is good news if you're Greenville, as Hollis Fanning has been unhittable through his first 14 innings in the league. He's only allowed 6 hits and no earned runs. But he is done here in the top of the fourth. So if you're Greenville, that feels like you might have some life. It's Fanning only threw 36 pitches, so hopefully Fanning is okay. I have no reason to think that he is not all right, but we expected him to pitch longer in this game. So here comes Maddox Burkett, 6'2", 180, right-handed hurler Maddox Burkett. Johnson County Community College in Overland Park, Kansas. An 8.22 ERA for Burkett so far over 7 appearances and 4 starts, 15 and a third innings pitched. And he'll face Joel Dragoo to start the top of the fourth. Burkett to Joel. That one misses 1-0. Maddox Burkett went to Lawrence Free State High School in Kansas. 1-0 pitch to Dragoo. One stays high, 2-0. Again, Dragoo with that 21-game on-base streak that he's trying to extend. It's foul back. Dragoo struck out looking against Hollis Fanning his first time. But Fanning's evening is done. After 3 dominant innings, pitch to Dragoo. This one is sent in the air out to right center field. Long run for Citrin. Still going, still going. He reaches up. He can't get it. That's going to bounce off the warning track and go over the fence. It's going to be a rule book double for Joel Dragoo, who extends his on-base streak to 22 games. And he's at second base to start the fourth. That was a long run for the right fielder, Citrin. He reached out his leather and couldn't get it. It bounced off the gravel warning track and over the fence near the American flag out in right center.
So ground rule double for Joel Dragu. That is his 10th double of the season. That leads the league. And now Nick Barone will try to get him over. Big hole on the right side for Barone. Pitch from Burkett. This one is sent to the right side. Backhand stop by first baseman Shaw. Underhand flip to Burkett, who drops the baseball. And now coming home to score will be Joel Dragu. Heading to second base is Nick Barone. A costly error there by Burkett. And the Flyboys are on the board. It's 4-1. Now Mike Gwynn is going to argue that he had it in his glove and then lost it after he touched the base. I do not think that's true. I think that Burkett fumbled that all the way, and he fumbled it all the way up the first base line. I would be surprised if he won this argument. So that's going to be a two-base error on Maddox Burkett. Good approach by Barone. You got to credit him. He had done his job. He had gotten Joel Dragu over to third base. And the air just made it even sweeter for Greenville. So Mike Gwynn is back to the third base dugout. He does not win this argument. It's going to be Barone on second. 1-4 now. And Gavin Boyle will be the batter. He struck out swinging his first time up. But, hey, this is a new game with Hollis Fanning no longer pitching. First pitch from Burkett to Boyle. This one is fouled straight back right over my head. It was pretty close, nothing and one. We have Dunn Eaton checking in on the text line. They say go Flies. They've texted in at 828-592-4436. A one pitch to Boyle. This is inside, 1-1. 828-592-4436 is how you can text into the broadcast. One one. This one is sent in the air out to deep right center field. Did Boyle do it? He did. That's over the little Caesar's side. Pizza pizza for Gavin Boyle. A two-run shot and now a one-run game. Maddox Burkett with all kinds of trouble here in the fourth. He's given up a double. He's committed a two-base error. And now he's given Gavin Boyle his third home run of the season. RBIs 10 and 11 for Boyle. Nick Barone scores for the 18th time this season. Gavin Boyle scores for the 11th time, and it's 4-3. Johnny Pilla's the batter, and he takes ball one. Gavin Boyle just went out and pulled that baseball over right center, right over the Little Caesars sign. 1-0 pitch to Pilla. This one has popped up a mile high. That one will reach out of play. And a young fan will try to chase that one down over behind the concession stand buildings. Barone's run comes in unearned. 1-1 pitch to Pilla. Bounces up there. Two balls and a strike. Two-one pitch to Pilla. Big swing and a miss. Burkett runs a fastball by him. 2-2. Burkett, fastball, slider, cutter, splitter. Fastball sits around 90. 2-2 pitch to Pilla. This one is sent on the ground, up the middle. Backhand stab by Mancini. Long throw across, and that one skips away. Johnny Pilla's going to head to second on that throwing error. And still nobody out here in the fourth inning. That one's likely to be scored a single and an E4. All of a sudden, Greenville has the tying run at second. Everything falling apart with Hollis Fanning not in the game. Saborn Campbell will be next as they play the Campbell's Soup theme song. Johnny Pilla reaches second on an air all the way. Apparently that's tough luck for Pilla. Saborn Campbell takes high 1-0. So E4 on Mike Mancini all the way. That was a really tough play up the middle. It was going to be a really close play at first base. His throw was wild and off target. Pilla reached second. Campbell again, just trying to move him over. Big hole on the right side, 1-0. That one's outside, 2-0. Campbell struck out swinging his first time up, but again, that was against Hollis Fanning. The 2-0 pitch to Campbell. Here's a strike, 2-1. Axman picked up a first inning run. They picked up 3 third inning runs. They've scored first all 6 times in the season series. But they've lost 3 of the first 5 games. Greenville trying to come back again. 2-1 pitch to Campbell. This one is chopped out to short. Pilla's going to try to take third and will take third on that ground ball. So it's whipped across by Danielle Ortiz, 6-3. But Campbell gets the job done. He's the first out here in the fourth inning. But Johnny Pilla moves up to third base. That'll bring up Avery Collins. Again, Collins has struggled, but his attitude's been great. Always has a smile. And an RBI chance here for Avery. See if he can come through. Burkett brings it. And this one is chopped to the right side. He will get the job done. There you go, Avery. RBI ground out for Collins, and it's 4-4. Didn't waste any time. Put the first pitch in play with the infield back. And scored Johnny Pilla for the 16th time. Credit Collins with his 6th RBI of the season. And now the 7th man to hit in this inning will be Aiden Hill. Aiden Hill, 1-for-2. Burkett delivers. That one stays up and away, 1-0. 4-run fourth for Greenville. They've tied it at 4. 1-0 pitch to Hill. Couldn't stop himself. Chased one up and in, and now it's 1-1. Again, everyone could feel it here. When Hollis Fanning came out, you knew that it was a different baseball game. Hollis Fanning in there, chances were not good for Greenville. 1-1 to Hill. This one is roped into right field. Clean single for Aiden Hill in between the first and second baseman. That is the third hit of the inning for Greenville, and that'll bring up Tyler Cerny. Cerny had a hit off of Fanning. There is a lefty standing around down the left field line for the Axemen. Looks like he's going to start throwing soon. Hill on first, held on by Shaw. Hill already has a stolen base in this game and 9 on the season. Pitch to Cerny. This one is ripped down the left field line. That one's just foul. Cerny out ahead of it. Hill takes his lead. Not going, and Burkett brings it. Swing and a miss by Cerny. Looked like something off speed. And Tyler's behind. No balls and 2 strikes. O-2 pitch to Cerny. That one misses downstairs. Skips away from McGann momentarily, but no advance by Hill as he doesn't want to make the final out trying to advance a base. Two pitch to Tyler. Runner goes, and the pitch is grounded out to third. That's a tricky hop for Sutton. He catches it after it bangs off his chest, and he throws out Tyler Cerny. Not sure how Logan Sutton stayed with that play, but he did. But the damage has been done. A 4-run fourth for Greenville, and they tie the game at 4 as we go to the bottom of the fourth, and you watch Greenville Flyboys baseball.
In Alabama, the recycling industry employs nearly 11,000 men and women. Recycling just 10% more would create an additional 1,400 jobs and $66 million in personal income. To learn about recycling opportunities in your area, contact the Alabama Environmental Council. Recycling works in Alabama. Brought to you by the Alabama Environmental Council, the Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Hit a home run when you find your fit at East Tennessee State University. Our Buccaneer family makes it easy for you to connect with others and get involved. You can take part in on-campus activities like concerts and game nights, and you'll have access to university resources that allow you to knock your academic goals out of the park. Learn more when you visit etsu.edu. Fourth, Greenville with a four spot. In the top of the fourth, as they have now tied the game at four. Here against the Kingsport Axemen in these two teams' final meeting this summer. Kobe Lepofsky into the game for Roan Tarbert. Lepofsky is 6'2", 200-pound left-handed hurler. Lepofsky, so far for Greenville, a 4.11 ERA over five relief appearances. 15 and a third innings pitched for Colby. 12 hits, 8 runs, 7 earned. He's given up a couple of homers. He's walked 11. He struck out 19. And overall, Colby's been very solid for Greenville. He throws a fastball in the mid-80s. He throws a changeup. He throws a slider. And he throws a curveball. He will start here left on left with Kyle Booker. Booker struck out swinging in his only appearance against Roan Tarbert. Carries that turquoise bat back up there and takes ball one. Tarbert went three innings, allowed three hits, four earned runs, walked four, struck out four. 1-0 pitch to Booker. Misses down and in, 2-0. It was a run in the first for the Axemen and three in the third, but then with Hollis Fanning out of the game, Greenville scored four. 2-0 to Booker. Downstairs, 3-0. Colby Lepofsky will dig his foot on the mound rather aggressively, kind of slam it in there as he tries to get his footing. Thinks he has it now. Wind up in the 3-0. Here's a strike. Lepofsky toes the rubber with his left foot generally on the center of it. Points his toes toward the first base dugout. Fans the glove in front of his face. Right leg kick in the 3-1. Swing and a miss by Booker. 3-2. It's a good fastball that time from Colby. Payoff pitch to Booker. Swing and a miss. Colby Lepofsky falls down delivering that, but it was a wicked off-speed pitch. He shrugs his shoulders like, I don't really know what happened either. But he came back from 3-0, made it 3-3. And Kyle Booker is out number one here in the bottom of the fourth. Lepofsky lost his footing there, struck out Booker, and my favorite part was his reaction. He just turned around and shrugged his shoulders like, I don't know, worked for me. Casey Allen the batter now, and he takes down and in for ball one. Casey Allen won for his first 18. He struck out swinging against Roan Tarbert. 1-0 pitch to Allen. Big swing and a miss. Casey way behind on that. Lefty continues to loosen for the Axemen. Looks like Derek McCarley or maybe Tyler Muscar down there. Another swing and a miss from Casey Allen. And it's one ball and two strikes. One 2 pitch to Allen. That one stays high. Casey thought about it but was able to hold his bat and shoulders back. Gust of wind blows in again. 2-2. Drops in. Strike three call. Pretty bender there from Colby Lepofsky. Back-to-back strikeouts and two men out here in the bottom of the fourth.
The left fielder, number one, Cole Swift.
Flyboys 4, Axemen 4. Mostly cloudy skies overhead as some gray clouds roll through. Wind is blowing in from right field pretty hard. Temperatures in the upper 70s to around 80, and Cole Swift, who popped out to first his first time up, is wailing away and pops this one up, but back and out of play. Flyboys defense just kind of walking around out there. No chances for him in this inning yet. 0-1. Swing and a miss. Fastball right on by. Colby's fastball is sneaky fast at the moment. And he's working very quickly. Swift steps out for a moment to try to disrupt his timing. 0-2. Outside. That's a pretty pitch from Lepofsky, though, on an 0-2 count. Good location. Fastball outer half. See what he does now on 1-2. He's probably going to throw something off speed. The pitch. Check swing roller out to third. Pilla cuts that off at the pass. He throws across and gets a fast man, Cole Swift, to retire the side. 1-2-3 inning for Colby Lepofsky as the Flyboys have all the momentum. We go to inning number 5 in a 4-4 game.
As an educator, Mr. Nelson's teachings are still being quoted in school.
Education is the most powerful weapon you can use to change the world.
Mr. Nelson taught hope.
Everyone can rise above their circumstances if they are dedicated and passionate.
And giving our best efforts.
It's always impossible until it's done.
Mr. Nelson Mandela's teachings not only united a nation, they inspire us today. Inspiration. Pass it on from PassItOn.com.
Rediscover the timeless pleasures of travel at Northeast Tennessee's premier historic hotel, the General Morgan Inn. Located in the heart of historic downtown Greenville, the hotel has been providing signature service since 1884. This boutique hotel is renowned for its personal service amid beautifully detailed guest rooms. The General Morgan Inn is the official visiting team hotel of the Greenville Flyboys. Plan your visit now by calling 423-787-1000. To go here on 7-inning Sunday, Flyboys 4, Axemen 4, and Tyler Muscar into the game. Muscar, 6'5", 210, lefty for the Kingsport Axemen. He goes to school at James Madison. James Madison, he appeared in 11 games this past season and had an 11.42 ERA so far for Kingsport. Muscar is 2-0. With a 4.76 ERA over 10 appearances. 11 and a third innings for Tyler. 13 hits, 11 runs, 6 earned. He's walked 5. He's struck out 17. He's been a good arm for this Kingsport team, and he's going to try to hold Greenville right where they are at 4 runs, but he will have to face the heart of their order. Muscar throws a fastball, a slider, and a changeup. He turns his back toward the infield to show us his block orange numerals, which are 31. And now he will readjust his cap facing the correct way. Stand with his feet parallel on the rubber, pointed right toward the batter, which is Jack Moss. He'll go into his windup and bring strike one. So Muscar with one of those windups where stance just pointing toward the hitter. Starts his motion with his lead right foot, kicks it, and brings an 0-1. Outside corner, nothing in two. Jack Moss turned, but he turned with that look like he knew Clements was calling it a strike because it was, and he was more upset at how good the pitch was. 0-2 from Muscar. This one is sent on the ground out to first. There is a Sunday hop for Corbin Shaw, and he will
touch the first base bag for out number one here. Three unassisted. I'll bring up Joel Dragoo. Dragoo extended his hitting streak to seven games with his double in the fourth. He extended his on-base streak to 22 games. Jordan Taylor also had a 21-game on-base streak coming in, so we'll see if he can extend that against the... Dragoo sends this one in the air out to right center field. Long run, still going, and the center fielder Kyle Booker tracks that one down on the gravel warning track for out number two. So Joel Dragoo just missed.
Now batting the first baseman, number seven.
So Jordan Taylor will try to extend his on-base streak in a game against the Whistle Pigs, which is underway at the moment. We'll take a look at the scores around the league when we get to the bottom of the fifth. Nick Barone, the batter. Muscar looking for a 1-2-3 top of the fifth. Flyboys and Axemen tied at four. Muscar to Barone. One darts outside, 1-0. Down and in, 2-0. Barone is 0-2. He scored one of the four runs in the last inning after reaching on an error by Maddox Birkin, who fumbled the ball over at first, 2-0. Called strike. Two balls and a strike. Two-one to Barone. Swinging a ground ball out to third. That's fielded head high by Sutton, and he launches across to retire Nick Barone. So a solid 1-2-3 inning for Tyler Muscar. This game goes to the bottom of the fifth. Axemen and the Flyboys tied at four.
All in together now. We can make it better now. Come on, can we do it?
We know that we can.
We rope it up.
Because we know how to jump.
We roll it out. Roll it out.
Just moving a little and eating better every day can help make you and your kids healthier. Search We Can online to find doable tips and activities that you can use every day. That's We Can. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Let the Nyswanger Performing Arts Center entertain you. Impact provides a variety of entertainment options from classic rock and country to bluegrass and captivating educational shows. Impact has something for everyone. The 2023-24 season is coming soon, and tickets go on sale July 6th at 10 a.m., so you don't want to be left out. Visit Impact's website at npacgreenville.com or stop by the box office Monday through Friday from 10 to 5. Impact is located on Tusculum Boulevard adjacent to Greenville High School. Bottom of the fifth, Axemen 4, Flyboys 4, it's Colby Lepofsky. We'll go back to work here against the top of the Axemen lineup. Lepofsky set down 3 men in a row in his first inning, which was the fourth. Andrew Citrin, 0-1 with a walk and a run scored. Pitch to Citrin. This one poked out of play. So this game was started by Roan Tarbert and Hollis Fanning. A 1 pitch to Citrin. That one almost caught him on the shoot tops. Tarbert went 3 innings, allowed 4 runs. Fanning went 3 innings, allowed no runs, and only 2 base runners, and he was taken out after he'd only thrown 30 pitches. 1-1 to Citrin. That one misses inside. 2 balls and a strike to the righty. So it's unclear what happened to Hollis Fanning. There was no apparent injury when he was on the mound. 2-1, up and away 3-1, so he was either injured and we missed it, or he was taken out for precautionary reasons, or Kingsport has plans for him to pitch sooner than normal. 3-1 pitch to Citrin. This one is sent in the air out to right field, curling toward the chalk. Dragoo over, long run, and that ball will bounce in foul territory before Dragoo can catch it. Ball had a lot of knuckle and tail on it. The other thing is Hollis Fanning's previous 2 outings, he went 6 innings and 5 innings and pitched well over 70 pitches. So it's just not the norm for Fanning to only throw 30-some-odd pitches in a game in which he was dominating. But Greenville will take it. They scored four off Maddox Burkett and tied the game immediately with Fanning no longer in it. 3-2 pitch to Citrin. This one is sent hard into center field. Hill on a dead sprint backward. He slows now and makes the catch for out number one. A hard line out for Andrew Citrin.
The second baseman, number two, Mike Mancini.
So four up, four down for Lepofsky. And now Mike Mancini. Mancini had a double and a run scored in the third. He struck out swinging in the first. After the first pitch to Mancini, we'll take a look around the league. Pitch to Mike. Breaking pitch, strike one. Danville leads Princeton 1-0 in the fifth. They're threatening for more with the bases loaded and two men out. Check the box score during the inning break. A one pitch to Mancini. Strike two. Jordan Taylor has reached base in the game via walk. So Taylor and Dragoo again going toe-to-toe for the longest on-base streak in the league. They're both at 22 now, having successfully extended it on seven-inning Sunday, which, again, the hardest day to extend it with two less innings. 0-2 to Mancini. And ow! That one caught him. Somewhere in his upper body, I think on his shoulder. Mike Mancini has reached in 26 of 28 games, so he also has a nice on-base streak of his own. So Mancini down to first, one man out for Daniel Ortiz. This is the dangerous part of the order for Kingsport. Ortiz has reached base twice, and he takes down an in. Mancini is a threat to steal with 12 swipes. Danville just extended its lead over Princeton to 3-0. Burlington and Elizabethton in a seven-inning Sunday shootout, 5-5 in the third. 1-0 pitch to Ortiz. Runner goes. Pitch is swung on and sent in the air out to center field. Aiden Hill is over. He is going to catch it. Retreating back to first base is Mike Mancini. And now two men out. So 5-5 Burlington and the River Riders. Sock Puppets with a 4.5 game lead in the East coming in. Doughboys with a 5-game lead in the West coming in. So it's those two teams' division to lose as they are hurtling toward a potential championship game at the beginning of August. Pulaski and Bluefield are finally underway following an hour or so rain delay. That game's in the top of the first, no score. And Johnson City and Bristol are underway. Doughboys again with a lead as they score a first inning run. Logan Sutton, the batter. Here in Kingsport, it's 4-4. We're in the bottom of the fifth. There is a runner on first and two men out for Logan Sutton. Sutton hit a 2-1 homer over left center his last time up. Pitch to him. Strike one. Pitch over the inside corner that time. Dropped by Collins, but Clements gives the strike. Flyboys, when we get to the sixth, we'll have Boyle, Pilla, and Campbell. Boyle hit a two-run homer his last time up. A one pitch to Sutton. This one is sent up in the air. Pop up into shallow right field. Who wants it? It's going to be the second baseman, Jack Mosh, who catches it in the outfield grass to retire the side. So a one-out hit by pitch, but Mike Mancini stranded over at first base. We're through five complete. Axemen 4, Flyboys 4, as you listen to Greenville Flyboys Baseball on MinorLeagueBaseball.com.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
We'll be right back.
Top of the sixth. There's two innings left on Seven Innings Sunday. Howie Boxley here with you. The end of week five, game number 30 of a 48-game Appalachian League 2023 summer season. Gavin Boyle will lead off here in the top of the sixth. Gavin Boyle provided the thunder in the fourth inning, a two-run home run over the Little Caesars sign out in right center. Tyler Muscar back out for his second inning of work. He had a 1-2-3 fifth inning. Muscar to Boyle, left on left, and Boyle chases one down and out of the zone. That's strike one. Boyle with a traditional wood bat. Holds it with his black batting gloves and awaits an 0-1. Chops that one foul to the left of Akeem Maynard as that one skips down and around and is picked up by somebody out of the Flyboys bullpen. Interesting here, the Flyboys bullpen is blocked by a grill and smokehouse sign. It's down the right field line. First CO2 pitch to Boyle. And this one is sent in the air. Foul territory, first base side. It's Corbin Shaw, who's over there on the warning track to catch it for out number one. So a foul out by Gavin Boyle, one man out. So the bullpen is blocked by that grill and smokehouse sign, so you can't see who's warming up. And if you're in the bullpen, you can't see either. So what the Flyboys have done is they're just sitting in front of the bullpen, in front of the grill and smokehouse sign, outside of the bullpen, so they can see the game. So that's pretty cool. Johnny Pilla swings at the first pitch and lines it into left field. That's going to be played on a hop by Cole Swift. One out single for Johnny Pilla, who's a threat to steal.
The left fielder, number 29, Saborn Campbell.
So Pilla's reached base three times now, twice via air and once with a hit. And now Saborn Campbell will be the batter. Campbell is 0 for 2. Muscar stares right at Pilla and brings it to Campbell. This one is sent in the air out to left field. Cole Swift to his left will catch that for out number two. Avery Collins had the game-tying ground out his last time up. Picked up his sixth RBI of the season. Scoring Johnny Pilla. So great job by Collins the last time up. Now he just needs to get that first hit since June 16th. Muscar again looks right at Pilla and now throws at him. Johnny over standing up. Lunging grab by Corbin Shaw to prevent that from going down the right field line. Muscar sets. Brings to Collins. This one has popped up. Foul territory again. Shaw over. And the first baseman again, near the warning track, makes the catch in foul territory. This one ends the top of the sixth inning. So no runs, one hit, no errors, one man left on base. To the bottom of the sixth in a seven-inning game. 4-4 your score.
Maybe he was born with his witty humor.
Some people bring joy wherever they go. Some whenever they go.
Or as a Frontier newspaper reporter.
There's nothing to be learned from the second kick of a mule.
Maybe he got his insights from being a riverboat captain.
Never argue with a fool. Onlookers may not be able to tell the difference.
Wherever he went, Mark Twain found humor all around. Humor. Pass it on. From PassItOn.com.
Wait till you see the bike we got for Jake. It is the coolest thing.
Hearing loss happens gradually with age, making it easy to ignore. Yet most older Americans aren't getting their hearing tested.
Dad, can you hear me?
Untreated hearing loss can keep your loved ones from enjoying what they cherish most. Don't let that happen. Speak up about hearing loss. You'll be glad you did. Brought to you by the American Speech Language Hearing Association.
Of the sixth inning, 4-4 your score. Flyboys have scored the last four runs of this game and tied Kingsport on Seven Innings Sunday. Kobe Lepofsky back to work here in the sixth inning. He has retired six of the first seven batters that he has faced. And he will tangle with 5, 6, 7. That'll be McGahan, Shaw, and Booker here in the bottom of the sixth. Game number 30, game number 6 of 6 between these two teams, Flyboys 3-2 in the first five. The Axemen are 7-3 in their last 10, so they've been playing good baseball. They were 8-2 in their last 10 before the loss last night. And so it will be Shea McGahan. McGahan has reached twice via walk. Pawlowski ready to go. Wind up in the pitch to Shea. Misses down and in, 1-0. Like it wild, yeah, like it, like it wild. 1-0 pitch. Outside corner, strike one. One pitch. I'm going to send in the air, right center field. Right fielder Dragu is over to his right, and the wind pushes that one a bit toward more toward center field, but Dragu catches it for out number one. Looking ahead, Greenville will start a home-and-home series with Johnson City tomorrow. The first-place Doughboys is Greenville will try to make some ground up on them. You never know. There's only 3 weeks left starting tomorrow. You're going to have to sweep that series and have a great finish, but who knows? Corbin Shaw, the batter now, and that one skips up there. So Flyboys will play in Johnson City tomorrow. That game will be at 7 o'clock. I'll be right there with the call right here on the Listen Live tab. 1-0 to Shaw. Down and in, 2 balls and no strikes. On Tuesday, the Flyboys will host Johnson City, as we will have the video stream for that one. Find the links on the social media pages before each and every game. 2-0 pitch to Shaw. This one is swung on and tomahawked down the right field line. It's a foul ball. Following a league-wide off day Wednesday, Greenville will travel to Elizabethton to play the final two games against the River Riders. And then on Saturday and Sunday, we will host the State Liners. 2-1. It's fouled away again. One will rattle the netting, and it'll be 2-2. Corbin Shaw ground out to short, fly out to right. That fly out to right was a double play, as Shea McGahan was doubled up. Sun is trying to come back out. 2-2 pitch to Shaw. Just a little bit high. 3 balls and 2 strikes. Again, the weather cooperating. Payoff pitch to Shaw. That one's high, ball 4. That should be ball 4. And that is ball 4, yeah. So Courtney Clements had to tell Corbin Shaw that that was ball 4. Everybody in the ballpark knew it was ball 4, except for Corbin Shaw, who was batting. So not sure what happened with Corbin there, but so Carson Queck is going to be a pinch hitter here for Kyle Booker. Queck last night had the scare of the night. He tried to pull a Queck one in the ninth inning. Queck batted, representing the tying run in a 3-run game, and he sent one to deep left field that pretty much everybody thought was gone. That included the pitcher Cameron O'Bannon, that included the left fielder Saborn Campbell. Campbell ultimately caught it right at the wall, and now Mike Gwynn is going to come out and make another change. So this time it's going to be a pinch runner. That's going to be Mays White, who's going to pinch run for Corbin Shaw. So Mike Gwynn pulling out all the stops, trying to take the lead here in the sixth in a 7-inning game. So Corbin Shaw's day is done. Kyle Booker's day is done. We'll have defensive replacements when we get to the seventh. But again, Carson Queck last night nearly tied the game. Not sure what happened. I mean, everybody thought it was gone, but Campbell retreated and caught it. If Campbell did not catch it, it would have hit off the center of the wall. And Cameron O'Bannon was able to get Mike Mancini to pop out in the game. It was a 6-out save for Cameron O'Bannon. So a pinch runner, it's Mays White. A pinch hitter, it's Carson Queck. Carson Queck officially in yesterday's game, 0-for-5. Couple of fly outs, a ground out, and two foul outs. So White on first. He extends his lead, held on by Verone. Lepofsky looks at him and brings it to Queck, who didn't mean to, but he fouls it away off the netting. A one pitch to Queck. This one is sent down the right field line. Long run for Dragoo, still going. That is fair, and it's in the corner. Here comes Mays White. He's going to round third. He's going to score. Carson Queck's going to head to third. Here comes the relay. Stand-up triple for Carson Queck, and the strings pulled by Mike Gwynn pay off. It's 5-4 Axemen. That's tough for Greenville. Infield is going to come in now, as now the Flyboys will only have three outs. Casey Allen, the batter. And he takes a strike over the outside corner. It's actually another pinch hitter. This time it's Ryan McCarthy pinch hitting for Casey Allen. 0-1. That one's tipped into the mid of Collins. Lepofsky quickly ahead. No balls and two strikes. One misses just a bit outside, a ball and two strikes. So two pinch hitters and a pinch runner here in the sixth inning for Mike Gwynn. So far, his changes have paid off. Infield in, 5-4 Axemen, 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Colby Lepofsky strikes out Ryan McCarthy, and that's a big second out as now the infield gets to back up.
The left fielder, number one, Cole Swift.
Third strikeout for Colby Lepofsky, and now Cole Swift is the man that is standing in Lepofsky's way of sending this game to the seventh, where Greenville will send the top of the order up to try to tie the game or take the lead. Pitch to Swift. This one is poked foul off to the right. Big triple by Carson Queck. First triple of the season. RBI number 13 for Queck. It untied the game. 0-1 to Swift. That one misses a bit outside. Left on right, the matchup here. Swift wags a bat around his right shoulder and awaits a 1-1. It's taken high. Two balls and a strike, and here comes the runner to home. The throw to the plate in time. Wow, Carson Queck tried to steal home. Collins threw it back to Lepofsky. Lepofsky threw it back home. And Carson Queck is caught trying to steal home to end the inning. What in the world? Out number three, but the damage has been done. The Axemen score to take a 5-4 lead as we go to the seventh. Tyler Muscar is going to be on to try to pick up the win for Kingsport. 5-4 Axemen. Wow.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Never gave without a compass. Eyes waiting. Started to wonder. Metamorphosis. Not so you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Top of the seventh, the Axemen take a 5-4 lead on a Carson Queck triple, and then Carson Queck is caught trying to steal home. to end the sixth inning. It's seven-inning Sunday, so it's the last chance for Greenville, as Tyler Muscar will come out for at least one batter. He will go left on left with Aiden Hill. And we will see if We will see how many batters Tyler Muscar faces. We've got a lot of stuff going on here. So Muscar is in, pitching still. He's pitched two scoreless innings to this point. All right, so we have a whole lot of changes brought about by Mike Gwynn. The main matchup, Tyler Muscar, Aiden Hill. Everything else is a bit secondary. We'll go through it. Ryan Miller, he's playing left field now, defensive replacement. Kevin Fernandez is playing right field now, defensive replacement. Carson Kwaku came in as a pinch hitter, has a game-leading hit at the moment, is now playing center field for Kevin Booker. Maze White playing third. Logan Sutton playing first. First pitch from Muscar to Hill. Strike one. Danielle Ortiz and Mike Mancini still playing at short and second. Shea McGann still catching. 0-1 from Muscar to Hill. That one bounces up there 1-1. The other thing that we have going on right now is we have Owen Kovacs warming up down the left field line. So Owen could show up at any moment. It might be after this meeting between Muscar and Hill. 1-1. This one is grounded down the first baseline, foul. Picked up over there by Logan Sutton in foul territory, the new first baseman. So the bench has been unloaded. Sutton goes from third to first. 1-2 to Hill. This one is set down the right field line. Kevin Fernandez to his left, and Fernandez just shy of the track makes the catch to retire Hill. Hard hit ball by Aiden, but he's the first out.
Now batting the shortstop, number 9, Tyler Cerny.
That'll bring up Tyler Cerny. No move yet from Mike Gwynn. Looks like it's going to be Muscar versus Cerny. Cerny in this game is 1-for-3. First pitch to Cerny, right down the middle, strike one. If Tyler Muscar completes this game, he will get the win. Lepofsky in line for the loss, 0-1. That one's up and away to the righty, a ball and a strike. It's been a quick seven-inning game. 1-1 to Cerny. Big swing and a miss. Tyler chased down and out of the zone. It's a good off-speed pitch from Muscar. 1-2 pitch to Tyler. Outside, good eye from Tyler, and now 2-2. Tyler versus Tyler. McGann, like that pitch location for Muscar. 2-2. Upstairs, 3-2. Cerny trying to reach. He'll represent the tying run if he does. He has 3 swipes. He's only walked 2 times so far. Payoff pitch. Fouled away. Healthy cut by Cerny. That one was sent over the press box. Feels like both of Cerny's walks have been in big situations. It's like he knows when a free pass is necessary. Payoff. Swing and a shot down the left field line. That one's near the foul pole. That is a foul ball. My goodness, that ball was out of the park, but just left of the foul pole. Tyler Cerny missed tying the game by a few feet. Tried to yank that one inside the pole. Muscar delivers another 3-2. That one's fouled back. Good battle here by Tyler Cerny. Tyler will see a 9th pitch in the sequence. Muscar delivers. Swing and a shot down the left field line again. Long run for Miller. He can't get it. It's off the top of the wall. Tyler Cerny chugging for 2, and now he's going to stop and head back to first. Tyler Cerny again missed a home run. He smacked a single off the top of the left field wall. Wow. He hit it too hard. That was 2 or 3 feet away from being a missile over the fence. Man, Cerny just missed twice. He is on first now. Held on by Sutton. And now he's picked off at and back standing up with that electric slide step. Jack Mosh is the batter. Mosh 0 for 3 in this game. 0 for 7 in this series. He is due. Mascar brings it. Mosh shows bunt. And he bunts that one foul. I think that one caught his bat and his hand, as he had his fingers wrapped around the bat just a little bit too far. Tried to get a base hit with a bunt with Maze White playing back. And now Chris Linker will come out to try to make sure Mosh's fingers are all right. Inning started with a line out to right by Aiden Hill. Mascar's been hit hard here in the seventh. Tyler Cerny hit a foul ball that hooked around the foul pole and then hit a single off the top of the left field wall. Now Jack Mosh, in the first pitch he saw, tried to bunt it. It caught his bat and his hand and trickled down the third baseline foul. So Linker is gone. Mosh appears like he's going to be able to continue. McGann was out talking with his hurler Mascar. McGann's back behind the plate. Mosh slowly digs back into the left-handed batter's box. Courtney Clements says, let's play. Mascar stares right at Cerny. Brings an 0-1 to Mosh. That one's taken down and in, 1-1. That was close. Maze White, the third baseman, now playing in on the grass as he's concerned that Mosh may try to bunt again. See if Jack can play pepper with him. 1-1. That one catches the outside corner. McGann was reaching for it, but Clements gave Kingsport the call, and now it's 1-2. Cerny takes a big lead off first. Red Indiana shoes over there. Mascar delivers to Mosh. This one is grounded foul. Jack was out ahead of that and kind of flipped it down the first base line to stay alive. He didn't really want anything to do with that pitch that was seeking the outside corner. Owen Kovacs, who was up, is now sat down. So maybe this is Muscar's game, or maybe Kovacs is ready. Mascar steadies at the belt. Brings a 1-2. Popped him up on the infield. It's going to be the first baseman. No, it's going to be the third baseman, Maze White, who calls off Sutton. He makes the catch in front of the plate. And now the Axemen are an out away from splitting this series. There is a big man standing in their way, though. Joel Dragoo. Can he do it again? Dragoo had a two-out, two-run home run in last night's game in the seventh inning to give Greenville a one-run lead. He'll have the same opportunity here in this game, but he will not see Tyler Mascar, as Mike Gwynn has hopped out of the third base dugout. And maybe he will see Mascar. He hasn't made a point yet. The entire infield is meeting here with Mike Gwynn. No pitching change signaled yet from Mike. Long meeting, and maybe Mike is trying to figure out if he wants to leave Mascar in the game. He's going to take the baseball from him. So after a lot of deliberation, it will not be Dragoo versus Mascar. Mike Gwynn goes to the bullpen. You don't want to miss anything that's about to happen here from Kingsport. It's the Axemen 5, the Flyboys 4, one out left in this game. Dragoo represents the leading run. Don't go anywhere.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Drama here in Kingsport. Top of the seventh inning on seven-inning Sunday. Tyler Cerny standing out at first base, representing the tying run in a 5-4 game. Joel Dreyu stepping up to the dish, representing the lead run in a one-run game. And Owen Kovacs into the game to try to pick up a one-out save. Kovacs, 6'4", 185-pound right-handed hurler who attends East Tennessee State University, originally from Knoxville, Tennessee. And a 1.50 ERA for Kovacs so far over his first three appearances. Six innings, two hits, two runs, just one earned. No walks and nine strikeouts. Kovacs versus Dreyu. Kovacs sets at the letters and delivers. That one skips up there. Good block by McGahan. Again, Cerny represents the tying run. Dreyu hit a two-run, two-out home run last night in the seventh to give Greenville a one-run lead. If he does it again, the Flyboys will have a lead here in the final inning. 1-0. Dreyu couldn't stop himself. Good pitch that time from Kovacs. That was the knuckle change. Fastball up around 90, a changeup, and a knuckle change. 1-1. That one stays high. Looked like another try at that knuckler. And it's two balls and a strike. Dreyu in this game, 1-for-3, had a double in the fourth, and he scored a run. It's the only inning that Greenville scored in, a four-run fourth. 2-1 pitch to Dreyu. Swinging a shot down the third baseline. That's a fair ball. Here comes Tyler Cerny to third. Ryan Miller's going to dig it out of the corner. Cerny's going to be waved around. He's going to score. Dreyu comes through in the clutch with one out remaining. And it's 5-5. Dreyu does it again. Ripped it inside the third base bag, picked up RBI 27. And now he represents the lead run out at second with Nick Barone up there. Kovacs delivers. Big swing and a miss by Barone, who was trying to untie this game. Kovacs is going to take a blown save. Muscar cannot win. And Lepofsky cannot lose. A one pitch to Barone. That one skips up there, 1-1. That one bounces up there, and another good block by McGahan. Kovacs sets at the letters, 2-1 to Barone. Outside, three balls and a strike. Gavin Boyle waits next. He has a home run in this game. 5-5 on seven-inning Sunday, two outs, top of the seventh. As Greenville is back from the dead, Kovacs asks McGahan to go through the signs again. Hitters count for Barone. 3-1. That one skips up there. That one is going to get away from McGahan. The lead runner, Dreyu, is going to advance to third base. It's going to be a walk to Barone. And now the lead run is just 90 feet away.
The designated hitter, number 16.
So Gavin Boyle is going to be the new man of the hour. Boyle versus Kovacs. Gavin has struck out. He's hit a two-run home run, and he's popped out in foul territory. Dragu on third, Barone on first. Big righty Kovacs sets. Left leg kicking the pitch. That one stays high. Owen having a bit of trouble getting on top of his knuckle curve. Most of them are staying high. Gavin Boyle has a big hole up the middle. 1-0. That one misses low. Boyle able to stop his swing. Two balls and no strikes. He also has a big hole on the left side with the third baseman Mays White playing near the third base bag. Shortstop Ortiz is playing almost behind the second base bag. Sutton is holding on Barone. And now Barone is picked off at, and he's back in with a dot. So again, the holes are up the middle to the right of the second base bag and pretty much right where the shortstop normally plays. Those are the two holes for Barone. See if he can fill one. 2-0, runner goes from first, and now Barone will head back. He started, then stopped. He tried to make McGahan make a mistake. And now it's 3-0 on Boyle as the pitch was low. Somebody else trying to get ready down the left field line. Will they be ready in time? 3-0 to Gavin. That one misses low, ball four. And now the bases are going to be full of fly boys in a tie game.
Here is the third baseman, Johnny Pilla.
Johnny Pilla is going to be the batter. Mentioned earlier that he was a little bit sick today. He has one hit in this game. He has another hit that probably should have been ruled a hit on a ground ball hit hard up the middle. So Pilla with two times he's reached base. First pitch to him. This is grounded softly up the first base side. That is a foul ball. That turns right of the first base bag. And the Flyboys are going to stay alive here. That took an unfriendly Kingsport hop. Sutton waited a long time on it. If he charges it and fields it, it's going to be a fair ball, but he waited for it to take that last bounce, and it skipped to the right of the bag. So, swing on the house for Johnny Pilla. Dragu on third, Barone on second, Boyle on first. 0-1 pitch to Johnny. Way high. Dirt pops off the mitt of McGahan. There is no place to put Johnny Pilla. If Greenville has to make room, they'll take the lead. 1-1. Sent in the air, shallow right field. Long run for Fernandez, still coming. And Kevin has it to retire the side. So the game is prolonged by a Joel Dragu double with two outs. Greenville has tied the game at 5 to the bottom of the 7th. 5-5 as you listen to Greenville Flyboys Baseball on MinorLeagueBaseball.com.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Fans, when you come out to the ballpark, make sure to stop by our concession stands to get yourself a nice Juice Elm Hill hot dog. Elm Hill, the official hot dog of the Greenville Flyboys.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
of the seventh, one game from Kingsport. The Flyboys tie it on a Joel Dragoo double down to their final out. Daniel Egan has shot out of the pen. He takes over for Colby Lepofsky, who worked 3 one-run innings. Egan attends Presbyterian College. He's a 6'4", 200-pound, right-handed hurler. So far for Greenville, he's 1-1 with a 5.4 ERA over six appearances, 20 innings, 28 hits, 14 runs, six walks, 18 strikeouts for Egan. And again, it's simple for Daniel. All you want to do here is record three outs and send this game to sudden death. Neither one of these teams has played sudden death yet. If you're unfamiliar with the rules, Kingsport, being the home team, will pick offense or defense. Whoever is on offense will have a runner placed on first base. If they score, they win. If they don't, they lose. One half inning, and we go home. So Egan will try to force sudden death. Ryan Miller will lead off here in the ninth, as he came on as a defensive replacement for Cole Swift in the top of the seventh. So first base coach Tyrell Harris a little bit late to the party. He'll head out to first base. And Ryan Miller will lead off the bottom of the seventh. First pitch from Egan to Miller, right on left, strike one. Ryan Miller came on in the seventh inning of last night's game, got two at-bats. He struck out and he walked. A one pitch. Outside corner, strike two from Egan. Kevin Fernandez is scheduled next. 0-2. Swing and a miss. The ball is dropped by Collins. He will have to throw to first and does so to complete the strikeout of Ryan Miller. One out here in the bottom of the seventh. So now Kevin Fernandez will come to bat. Fernandez took over for Andrew Citrin as a defensive replacement in the top of the seventh inning as well. Right on right. Egan brings to Fernandez, and Fernandez chops this one high in the air out to Cerny. Cerny grabs it and fires out Kevin Fernandez. Nice play by Tyler Cerny. 6-3 goes Fernandez, and quickly two are out as Daniel Egan tries to force sudden death. Mike Mancini, one of the few men in this game who's played second and batted second all game. Mancini is 1-for-2. With a double and a run scored, he's reached base twice. Egan delivers. Big swing and a miss by Mancini, 0-1. Egan's fastball looks good. He has a really good fastball. Touch 97 his last time out, 0-1. Fastball again off the plate. So Daniel, one of the hardest throwers in the league, with a fastball that can sit in the mid-90s and top out around 97. 1-1 to Mancini. One misses down and away, two balls and a strike. If Mancini can reach Danielle Ortiz, who's ever dangerous, would be on deck. 2-1 to Mike. That one's dropped by Collins. It was near the bottom of the zone, but call the ball. Do not want to put Mancini on in a tie game in the last inning. It's 5-5 here on 7-inning Sunday. Bottom of the seventh, 2 men out. 3-1 pitch to Mancini. That one's a little bit low, and Mancini will reach here in the seventh. So Danielle Ortiz will come up.
Number 27, Danielle Ortiz.
Ortiz in this game, 1-for-2 with a single, a walk, and a run scored. He had a home run in last night's game. He leads the team in runs, RBIs, tied for the league lead in homers, and leads the team in OPS at over 1,000. Mancini on first, a threat to steal. Egan brings to Ortiz, swing and a miss. Danielle can't catch a fastball that was moving away from his bat.
And now Mike Gwynn is going to call time. He's going to call over Ortiz and the runner on first, Mancini. And Daniel Egan kind of throws up his hands like, really? So Mike Gwynn has something he wants to say. Mancini has 12 stolen bases in 14 tries. Ortiz, the big slugger in this lineup. This is the two most dangerous players in it. Mancini has reached. And now Logan Sutton, who's on deck, comes out to say something quickly to Daniel Ortiz. A lot of talking and strategizing here by the Axemen. All of that is over, though. Daniel Ortiz will climb back into the right-handed batter's box behind 0-1. Mancini leads off first, held on by Barone. Egan sets and now picks off, and that is close, but Mancini is back safely. That would have been pretty ironic if Mancini would have been picked off after all that chatter. Healthy lead for Mike. Hands on knees, has the oven mitt on his left hand. A 1 pitch to Ortiz, and instead to first again. Slap tag applied by Barone, but again, Mancini back in with a dive.
Boring. You're boring, everybody. Quit boring, everyone.
Still 0-1 the count on Ortiz. Egan delivers. Runner goes, pitches high, throw down to second base, skips up there, and is not in time. If Avery Collins throws that on the money, Mancini is likely out. But give Mike his 13th stolen base. He is now in scoring position, and he represents the game's winning run. And now Ortiz is going to be intentionally walked. So the first intentional base on balls of the year issued by the Greenville Flyboys. That's smart. Take the bat out of the hands of Daniel Ortiz. And now Logan Sutton will be the batter.
Number 39,
Logan Sutton. He's no cheap out either. He's 1-for-3 in this game with a 2-run homer. So we'll see if Logan Sutton takes the intentional walk personally. Daniel Egan standing on the hill. He's already set. He's waiting on Sutton to get in the batter's box. He finally does. And now time is going to be called by Collins as he doesn't want Mancini stealing the Flyboys' signs out at second base. So both teams playing tight here in the last inning. Pitch from Egan. And now he's checking on Mancini and brings it to Sutton, who grounds it up the middle. Cerny has it. He's going to shovel flip to second. And we're headed to sudden death. So for the first time this year, the Axemen and the Flyboys will be in a sudden death game. We'll see if Mike Gwynn will choose offense when we come back.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry, I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hit a grand slam when you choose to make East Tennessee State University your home away from home. You'll find a vibrant and welcoming community, resources to support academic and personal success, and a full calendar of student activities available throughout the semester. Join us at etsu.edu/admissions to be at the center of the Buccaneer experience. Here we go, sudden death for the first time this season between the Greenville Flyboys and the Kingsport Axemen. Caleb Anderson is going to be the man who gets the ball here in sudden death for the Kingsport Axemen. No statistics will count in this inning, which is rather odd. Anderson takes over for Kovacs. Kovacs gave up the inherited run that tied the game in the seventh. So Kingsport has elected defense. The Greenville Flyboys will start with Johnny Pilla on first base. Johnny Pilla will be placed on first base since he was the final out of the seventh inning. If Greenville scores a run in this half inning, they win it. If they don't score, they lose it. It is one half inning. That is all. Greenville will have 8-9-1 due up. Campbell, Collins, and Hill are scheduled. Caleb Anderson gets the ball. Anderson, 6'0", 200, 19 years old. Right-handed hurler, Johnson County Community College, JCCC. So far for Kingsport, Anderson is 1-3 with an 8.59 ERA. 14 and two-thirds, 21 hits, 17 runs, 14 of them earned. 9 walks, 6 strikeouts. And again, none of these stats will count. In the stat book, the game ends as if it was a 5-5 tie. However, of course, whoever wins this will get the win on their record. So there will be no official winning pitcher. There will be no official losing pitcher. And officially, it'll be 5-5 with a sudden death winner. I hope that going forward, the league will look into this and do it more like MLB, where you just count the guy on first as an unearned run and play everything else normal so that we can get the stats in the books. It's a little bit confusing, honestly, when you look up. Unless you ask somebody, you can't just look on the App League website to see who wins this game. But you're right here right now listening to Greenville Flyboys Baseball, so you'll know as soon as it happens. Howie Boxley here with you. Caleb Anderson ready to go. Pilla on first. Flyboys score to win. And now Pilla quickly picked off at. And back in safely is Johnny. Logan Sutton, the man holding him on first. Saborn Campbell, 0-3 in this game. Pitch to Campbell. He shows bunt and takes a strike. Charging in from third was Mays White on that bunt show from Campbell. One pitch to Campbell. Runner goes. Pitches down and away. Throw down to second. That ball's into center field. Here comes Johnny Pilla to third. And just like that, the game-winning run is 90 feet away for Greenville. So now the infield will come in for Kingsport. All Campbell has to do is put this ball in play. Pass the infield, deep enough in the outfield, and Greenville will win. And yeah, I was going to say, Kingsport's likely to bring in a fifth infielder here. Apparently not. I definitely would if I was Gwynn. So four infielders all in on the grass. Pitch to Campbell. Outside. It's now two balls and a strike on Saborn. So the outfield playing at normal depth. 2-1. Outside, three balls and a strike. Offense is 5-4 in sudden death this season. Kingsport chose defense. 3-1 pitch to Campbell. Downstairs, ball four. So Saborn walks. We will see if Avery is potentially intentionally walked. We'll see if Collins is the hitter. It will be Avery Collins. Middle infield obviously has to stay in. You can't give up the run. So Saborn will not be held on. All the infielders still in on the grass. Collins the batter. And Avery takes a called strike from Caleb Anderson. Avery, for all the struggles he has had, what a time it would be to deliver the game winner. Second-year Flyboy player. He'll be playing at Tusculum in the fall. 0-1. Runner goes from first, and Avery gets smoked. So Avery gets hit by the pitch. That'll put the bases loaded And now Aiden Hill will be the next man up. We are in sudden death. It is 5-5. And the Flyboys need to score this one sudden death run to win the game. Bases are loaded. Nobody is out. Caleb Anderson in a ton of trouble. Aiden Hill, 2-for-4 in this game. Pitch. Popped up down the left field line. That one's curling toward the seats and into them. That one will bang down around the umbrellas. Flyboys scored 4 fourth-inning runs and a big 2-out double by Joel Dragu in the 7th inning, tied this game at 5. Axman scored 1 in the 1st, 3 in the 3rd, 1 in the 6th. Flyboys trying to sweep away Kingsport. A 1 pitch to Hill. Swing and a fly ball sent out to center field. That should be deep enough. Carson Queck is going to catch it. Tagging from third is Johnny Pilla. The throw is going to be nowhere near in time, and the Flyboys win it in sudden death. Aiden Hill with a sacrifice fly to bring home Johnny Pilla. And in sudden death, the first sudden death game of the year for Greenville, they win it. As a water cooler got chucked on Aiden. And there you go. What a fun series in Kingsport for Greenville.
And for the X-Men, 5 runs on 4 hits and 4 errors.
Awesome win for Greenville.
But don't hit the player, take the game.
Their second win in a row as they sweep away the Kingsport X-Men. We'll get some final totals here for you. Again, none of those totals in that inning, in the sudden death inning, will count.
As your Axemen take on the Bluefield Ridge Runners. Gates will open at 5:30 for season ticket holders and 6 o'clock for the general public. First pitch will be at 7 o'clock.
All right, so here we go. Final totals on 7-inning Sunday, which turned into 7.5-inning Sudden Death Sunday from Hunter Wright Stadium. The Flyboys win it by a final score of 5-5 with an asterisk as they win sudden death on offense by scoring a run. So 5 runs for Greenville on 7 hits, no errors, 8 men left on base, 5 runs for Kingsport on 4 hits, 3 errors, and 5 men left on base. The Flyboys are now 14-16, and pending the outcome of the Johnson City Doughboys game, they will either be 7 or 6 games back heading in to the home-and-home series tomorrow against Johnson City. Flyboys are 8-7 on the road. They finish up their season series against Kingsport 4-2. They are now 9-11 within the division, and they are on a 2-game winning streak. The Axemen fall to 500. They are 15-15. They will either be 5 or 6 games back of the Johnson City Doughboys. They are now 9-7 at home. 2-4, the final record for Kingsport against the Greenville Flyboys. Time of game, 2 hours and 15 minutes. Well, it was a ton of fun from Hunter Wright Stadium on a Sunday evening. I hope we'll have a ton of fun tomorrow night in Johnson City. First pitch will be at 7 o'clock. I'll be live on the air right here at about 6:50 Eastern Time. Until then, I hope that all of you have a great Sunday evening. As always, stay fly.